Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey. About 12:30 Eastern here, and you have found myself, Matt Williamson, on the Locked On NFL podcast. And unlike any other time you and I have had this conversation, we actually have football to talk about. Teams playing against other teams in pads and full uniforms with referees, actual games. What could be better? Day one of the preseason, since we got robbed last week, is in the books. So in our front four, I'm going to talk about one news topic and three games I was able to watch since I got home last night. As I told you, I was in Latrobe, got home around 10:30 last night, watched two games late night and one this morning. And so we do have some things to talk about, and I will watch a lot of games this weekend, and we will talk heavily about them on Monday. So that's where we're at. So I'm pretty excited. We actually get to see some real football. I know a lot of you out there probably think, the preseason doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. Well, I couldn't disagree more. I think it's a very big deal. And from where I'm standing, I'm just happy to be able to talk about something new. You know, I've been analyzing from the Super Bowl and back is the only thing new that I've seen on the field to actually see with my eyes and have an opinion on or see how things are going. And a lot of these guys change, you know. I mean, you're hearing things like Terrence West is blowing it up for the Ravens. And I didn't see that game. It's not going to be one we talked about. But someone in this business I respect a lot that played in the league, Ryan Riddle, at Ryan_Riddle, had a great quote yesterday on Twitter, and I just wanted to mention it. And people were complaining about how preseason doesn't matter. And he said about 15 camp practice reps is the equivalent of one preseason game rep. And for the, you know, what that means is if you're a guard on first and 10 in the Pat Saints game, which we are going to talk about, and you get to line up against a Patriot defensive tackle, Ryan thinks that's equivalent to taking 15 practice reps, at training camp. And I think that's dead on. You know, I mean, it's a heck of a lot different. You don't know what that guy is going to do. You've never played against him before, most likely. You know, you have to execute things on a bigger stage. And do I think four is a bit much with the preseason? Yeah, and I do think it's a bit of a money grab by the owners. You probably certainly get away with two or three, especially if there's more, you know, joint practices like the one I was at this week with Steelers-Lions. And by the way, I am going down to the Steeler-Lion game tonight. I'll be there really late. I'm going to be doing the two-hour post-game show from Heinz Field, but I'm excited to watch the Lions as much as I am the Steelers, so I'll definitely have some notes for you guys on Monday on that topic. And here we are, you know, in the front four like we do every show, and this one is unfortunately really the biggest topic of the day that's non-on-the-field related. And I'm sorry to keep harping on the Steelers, but the news broke, and I think it's something we need to talk about. And that's this Ladarius Green situation. And it's coming out now that he's considering retirement. The Steelers are considering cutting him. And maybe it's a little early to overreact to those things because of chronic headache situations. And he does have a concussion history. The Steelers signed him knowing that he had this ankle injury. And all of us at camp, and you know, I think everyone basically in the media had just assumed that the reason he had yet to see the field, and he hasn't, he's never really put the pads on for the Steelers, it was because this ankle injury was lingering, and they didn't want to rush it, and they had big plans for Green. And you know, if you talk about, and the reality is, as it stands right now, they may get zero out of him. He never may never play again. And I feel for him. I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel for him. But, I mean, I'm here to talk about the game. There's some talk, too, that they would try to claim at least a portion, if not all, of his signing bonus, so that could get ugly. And, you know, maybe that he was not truthful with these and with the Steelers and telling them of this entire situation. I don't know any of those things, but clearly, you know, they would have used that money somewhere else or drafted a tight end or done something differently if they, you know, suspected this was an issue. But I think that knowing that Martavis Bryant was going to be suspended and is a slash problem child, I think that went into their logic with Ladarius Green. You know, I've lived in Pittsburgh my whole life. They've never had a tight end that could run like this guy. And even like Jesse James, who's right now in line to be the starter, he's slimmed down. You know, there's a lot of talk of this Xavier Grimble, who's basically, you know, if you remember him, he came out of USC a couple years ago, was with the Giants briefly, a basketball player turned tight end. I mean, so I think they're changing the profile of the old school two-way inline Y Steeler tight end, you know, that Heath Miller did for so long, and Mark Bruner and Eric Green and even those guys, old school, that they're trying to expand the field, get faster and more athletic at that position. And I also think, you know, going back to Bryant, that factored in, you know, that you're going to lose a 6'4 guy that can get deep. And Wheaton and Antonio Brown are smaller receivers. When you talk about the red zone, you need a bigger body there, a go-up-and-get-it player. And I think they looked at Green as a guy to alleviate some of that Bryant concern, you know, his absence. So as it stands right now, you have Martavis Bryant out for the year, maybe Ladarius Green never playing again, and Le'Veon Bell is suspended for the first four games of the year, and they haven't even played a game yet. So there's more injuries to come, you know. So what I've been saying that it was, I think, the best offense in the league is taking major hits. So hopefully this works everything out. And for the young man, I hope that, you know, his career is not over. And, you know, for the Steelers' sake, hopefully I'd like to see him on the field. Okay, for the rest of the show, we are only going to do a front four today, four topics. We did the first one, and that was Ladarius Green. And we are going to talk about three games I watched and just some observations. And, you know, I opened the show saying that, you know, the preseason matters, and it absolutely does. But, you know, some of these games, a lot of stars didn't play. You know, Pat Saints is the first game, and I didn't see the beginning of the game. I started watching it as soon as I got home and watched the end of it. So a couple of the things that I'm going to mention here I didn't see in person, and I have to take a little bit a leap of faith on, and I will go back and watch them. And the other ones to really talk about with that regard are how Garoppolo played. I didn't see him, but by all accounts, he did pretty well. You know, he did pretty well. I would say of all the preseason players out there, eyes are probably on him as much as anyone in the league, you know, see what he could do. But, you know, all those geniuses out there trying to decipher what Bill Belichick is, how he's going to run offense with Garoppolo in the game, best of luck. You know, he's not going to show you anything. You know, they're not going to game plan for these things and you know, show the Cardinals in week one what they're planning on doing, if they're going to be run heavy, if they're going to do more quarterback rollouts and designed quarterback movement. All those things would make sense. And then the other ones I didn't really see, and for some reason I just don't have as many Saints notes as I have Pats notes from this game. But the thing I wanted to really touch on with the Saints is three of their rookies really shined by all accounts. And again, I didn't see the beginning of the game, but there's very good reports that Sheldon Rankins was everything he's cracked up to be. And boy, do they need him. He's going to play a lot of snaps this year. I really like that fit. Really like that pick. And the other one's Michael Thomas. You know, I saw the highlight catch he made. It's a beaut. Everybody's been talking about how he's the story of New Orleans camp. He's going to take over that Marquise Colston big slot role, and I think he'll upgrade it, at least upgrade the version we've seen the last 2 years of Colston. He could be one of these players. You know, wasn't super productive at Ohio State because they ran the ball so much. He could be one of these players that we look at in 2 years and go, man, you know, why was he not a first-round pick? He has that kind of ability, and he's a great situation. But the rookie I did see a fair amount of was Daniel Lasco. You know, I like this guy. He's a do-it-all type running back with a lot of athletic ability. You know, he doesn't look super athletic, but he moves pretty well laterally. He's got a burst. He runs hard. And, you know, it's kind of a crowded backfield, but I think somehow he's going to factor in, especially if CJ, you know, Spiller gets hurt or flops. Maybe he has a designed role in the passing game for them. So that's interesting. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Now let's talk Patriots. You know, I talked about Jimmy G a little bit. I did see Brissett, the rookie. He's got a big arm on him. He flashed in this game. He can also run. The reports on him are that he will take too many risks with the football, and I could see some of that for sure. But, you know, if they bring him along slow, he might be the next Garoppolo. I mean, I think that was a pick that shocked people, but the Patriots consistently use pretty high picks on wide or on quarterbacks during Tom Brady's tenure, and they develop, you know, they're going to try to develop them, and they realize the importance of the position. Another rookie that they used a third round pick on is Joe Thuney, a guard, and there's a lot of guards and centers battling for starting role. You know, Dante Scarnecchia is there now. They've used quite a few mid-round picks, including the Thuney pick, in the last 2 and 3 years on guards and centers. So there's a lot of bodies there. Plus, they also traded for Cooper in the Chandler Jones deal. We're going to talk about Chandler Jones in a minute. So Scarnecchia is going to have to find his best guys, and it looks like Thuney's locking up a starting job. That's highly encouraging. You know, that's something that I think the Pats fans should get very excited about. Another guy I want to talk about is Tyler Gaffney. You know, I don't know if you guys know this guy's story, but the Panthers drafted him, 2 years ago. He was really good, and then he got hurt, you know, in camp. So they tried to put him through waivers, and the Patriots picked him up and didn't even put him on the active roster. They just basically stole him, stuck him on injured reserve. And he's been there for 2 years with various injuries. So they've been paying him for 2 years without getting any production out of him. This was his first preseason game of his career. And I bet Belichick loves this guy. I mean, I could see him being the LeGarrette Blount type. He's not as physical, but he's a big back that runs hard. He was highly productive, between the tackles guy. He's sort of heavy-footed, and I'm sure he'll help on special teams. But boy, I bet Belichick loves him just by reading the tea leaves, so to speak, as my man Sigmund Bloom says. You know that they've kept him around this long; it's for some reason. And talking about Chandler Jones, this defensive end situation here—not that they won't miss him, but isn't in all that bad a shape. And you know they got Chris Long and Sheard, and Ninkovich is injured right now, but he's expected to be back very early in the season, if not for Week One. But Trey Flowers, oh man, was this guy good last night? And I wonder, you know, I always give Belichick the benefit of the doubt, and he's earned it. You know, does he sit there and watch Flowers over the course of the year or so that he's been a Patriot and say, this guy's going to need playing time, and if we can afford to move somebody, it's a defensive end, and we're not going to be able to re-sign Chandler Jones after this year anyways. I want to get Flowers on the field. He was a dominant player in this game, explosive, long. They lined him up all over the defensive line, but more of an edge player. You know, he scored a touchdown. He came as a three technique, caused a fumble, sack, picked it up, you know, scoop and score. He batted down a pass. He was really something, you know. So keep an eye on Trey Flowers. He could be a breakout candidate in a big way on a team that I think is already the best in the league. You know, the Patriots know what they're doing. Newsflash. One note from the Patriots, another rookie is Malcolm Mitchell, the wide receiver. Dislocated his elbow, and this is kind of gross, but they said they were able to pop it back in. I can't even imagine what that feels like. As opposed to missing a lot of time because they were able to pop his elbow back in, he's supposedly only out 4 weeks. They seem to like him quite a bit. I think he's the outside the numbers receiver they've been looking for. He's certainly not an Edelman type, not the usual slot guy that they have. And they've really struggled to find these guys, and they've really struggled to find them through the draft. I mean, it's a very complex passing game, and young players do not do well in the system. He supposedly was acclimating himself quite well, but I would think that all this preseason time that he missed is really going to slow his development. And I don't want to jump on it right away, but I just wonder if we're going to see very little out of this player throughout the year, or if it's week 10, week 12, where they finally start to feel comfortable putting him in the games where Brady, you know, knows where he's going to be and can trust him and all those type of things. But they do need guy on the outside. This morning, I watched Jacksonville and the Jets, and my wife's working from home. The kids are here. It was a little bit of chaos, so it didn't have my undivided attention, or just took longer than I wanted, to be honest. It's just not as efficient working under those conditions as you guys can imagine, which is why I like to stay up late at night and do things when the house is quiet. That's when I watched two games, including that Patriot game we just talked about. But the Jags and the Jets, a couple things stood out. First of all, I want to talk about the wide receivers. In New York, you know, very little did Decker and Marshall play, obviously. You know, that makes a lot of sense. Both quarterbacks played two series, and then Geno Smith and Henny came in. But the one thing I was really keying on for the Jets are, who's going to be the other receivers in New York? You know, if you don't know this, the Jets led the league in four receiver sets last year. Jason Morrow's coming back at tight end, and I think it's premature to say that he can't help the team. I mean, I was watching him a little. I want to watch a lot more of him. But Quincy Enunwa, they've been raving about him. He's a size guy. He's thicker, powerful, came to the league pretty raw, but he had a really good first half. I think he's the leader in the clubhouse right now to be the number three receiver. And we still haven't seen Devin Smith. I really like Devin Smith. I want to see him on the field as a deep threat, as a much different type of receiver than they have. But Enunwa is certainly interesting. I think he will play a lot of snaps. But some other guys here did well too. Peak, the rookie, he caught a touchdown and did some good things. Another rookie out of Ohio State, Jalen Marshall, had a very long 84-yard kickoff return, showed some jets, smaller guy, probably more of a slot option. So they were raving, you know, listen to the announcers and the beat writers and stuff for the Jets. They were saying that these other receivers have really stepped up in camp. I think Anun was the guy to watch the most, but that's a really interesting situation because, again, they play with a lot of receivers on the field. And then another rookie, Darren Lee. Darren Lee, the first-round pick of the Jets, brings much-needed speed to the second level of that defense. He made some plays at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage. Certainly shows explosion, athletic ability. There were a few times where I saw him getting tangled up in the trash, or a guard or a center would get a hold of him, and he had a tough time letting loose. And that's the knock on him. You know, he's more of a finesse athlete on the second level, but that's what they need, you know, and that's what today's NFL is going for. He'll have to develop his coverage skills, but certainly has the body type and change of direction and speed to be very good in that regard. But it was encouraging. He was playing downhill, you know, he was thumping and making plays at the line of scrimmage and behind the line of scrimmage. I like that a lot. Jacksonville, they moved the ball very easily, you know, whether it was Henny or Bortles, and, you know, Revis didn't play, and, you know, it's not the first-team defense. But the Jags didn't have their starting center, Linder, who's a really good player who missed all last year. For those of you who don't know, he was a guard that they're turning into a center. Keep an eye on Brandon Linder. And Kelvin Beachum, who, you know, they brought over from the Steelers, he's going to be their left tackle. He's going to blow by Jokel whenever he's healthy. He didn't play either. But they still moved the ball really well. Both their running backs, I thought, played very well. It looks pretty obvious that Ivory's going to be the goal line guy, but he was thumping his old team. Yeldon, I'm a big Yeldon fan. You know, I think a lot of people overreacted that they don't like Yeldon. That's why they signed Ivory. I just think they signed Ivory because they had a ton of cap space and they had to use it, and they threw too much by the goal line, and why not add another guy that's a different type of runner than Yeldon, who's really smooth, and I like the way he changes direction. I think Yeldon's going to be a very good player. And now he can take a little off his plate. Man, Allen Robinson was a stud last night, and just toying with those smaller defensive backs. I would have loved to have seen him against Revis, but reports are Allen Robinson is noticeably better than he was last year. That's saying a lot. Marquise Lee showed up big, too. I thought that was great. On that first drive, though, the Jacksonville's driving down the field. Julius Thomas drops what should have been a pretty easy catch. And then Leonard Williams just whipped the backup center sack, and they had to settle for three. But so the score doesn't show it as much, but Jacksonville was really moving the ball very well, especially in the run game. Well, both. I mean, the wide receivers all showed up pretty heavily, too. And both running backs were getting big chunks of yardage over and over. And not that I would be super concerned with the Jets, because I think they'll get those things fixed. But it's encouraging for Jacksonville for sure. The last game to discuss was not very competitive. I watched it late last night. Again, let's not take too much away from preseason and this is the status of these teams and whatnot. But man, Denver and the Bears look like they are in very, very different places. And that shouldn't be news, you guys. Denver's the Super Bowl champs. The Bears are very much in a rebuild. And I think they're rebuilding well, and they showed a stat last night that every year where John Fox has gone to a new team, that second year his team has taken a big jump. And as usual, Fox's teams are rebuilding through the defense. And I think that front seven for the Bears has a chance to be very, very good. I think their secondary is going to be horrible. But I also think that this upcoming offseason, and people don't want to hear about the offseason, that we haven't played a game yet, but I bet they dedicate that towards two areas, the offensive line, which we'll get to, which is, oh boy, and the defensive backfield. I think the front seven is basically complete. Willie Young got an extension. He looks good. Leonard Floyd and Bullard, two very athletic, maybe slightly undersized, more movement-based but versatile players that aren't penciled in as starters right now, but both high picks, highly productive at college. Both played a lot of snaps last night. We definitely saw from both players quickness, speed, change of direction, certainly some playmaking skills from Floyd and Bullard. So Bears fans, I think you can hang your hat on two things, really, is they got a front seven, they got a pair of receivers, although who knows if Jeffrey will be back after the season. And after that, I got some real concerns about the Bears. And that's not surprising. And I know it's only one preseason game, and they played against the Super Bowl champs. But this offensive line is horrible. I mean, I can make the argument that Kyle Long is the only average or above average player on this line. You knew the tackles were going to be poor. They had high hopes for Grasso, the center out of Oregon. He's out for the season. I like Whitehair, but he's a rookie. He's probably going to be the opposite guard of Long, and I think that'll end up being fine. When he was at Kansas State, he played every offensive line spot there except for center. Well, last night he played guard, and then he played center after that with the second team, and poorly. He looks like he has not played center. So I get that they're, cross-training him, that if guys don't work out, he might have to bump in. But he had two terrible snaps on shotguns, a lot of penalties, wasn't blocking a soul. And the offensive line for the Bears got ravaged by a Von Miller-less and Malik Jackson-less Broncos pass rush. I mean, there's no DeMarcus Ware either, and Denver's good, but it was a beatdown in terms of the Bears quarterbacks and being under pressure. The Bears had a punt block for a touchdown in the first half. They just look like a massively rebuilding team. And I guess that shouldn't come as a shock. And that's even Denver with very ordinary quarterback play. Paxton Lynch, to me, looks a long, long way away. He looks uncomfortable, gangly. He looks like a baby deer that's been born 5 minutes ago and can't quite figure out what the heck's going on. And, keep him out of the way, the lions or whoever hunts deer. Lynch is eventually going to be the starter there, and his skill set fits what they want to do very, very well. I like the pick, but from what I saw in one game, and of course we'll be watching much more closely going forward, he's a long, long way away. Sanchez and Simeon, okay. Again, they're They're not the answer. Whoever wins that job, and I can't believe that Simeon's even in the conversation, but I think he is furthest along from a mental perspective. He does some good things. He makes good decisions. He's a pretty good athlete. Sanchez didn't play poorly, but again, I mean, that's a terrible Bears secondary they were facing. Virgil Green showed up a little bit early, but two guys I really wanted to mention from the Broncos offense were two, you know, I look at this Bears, or I'm sorry, this Denver passing game, the wide receivers, and I'm expecting a tight end, maybe Virgil Green, to step up, or in general, the tight end presence should be greater than it's been. But who's the third receiver here? You know, who's the fourth receiver? We know Demaryius and Sanders are a very good pair. You know, I would really like Latimer when he came out of school, and it, by all accounts, him and Peyton Manning didn't jive at all. He wasn't precise enough, too raw. But Latimer and Fowler, another big-bodied guy that moves pretty well, has some power. They played a lot last night. So I think those are two players, two wide receivers to really keep an eye on that they might be coming into their own, Latimer and Fowler. So there you have it. You know, those are my news and notes from the three games I saw. Hoping to watch, I don't know, 9 or 10 more probably over the next couple days. Maybe we'll have an expanded show of some sort on Monday, or maybe all day Monday and Tuesday will be news and notes from the weekend. Have to figure that out. I'm still kind of new to this too. You know, we're on the Locked On NFL podcast, the Locked On Network, which all these teams I mentioned, you know, go check out the Locked On Bears, you know, Locked On Steelers, Locked On all these different teams, because they're going to break it down a lot more in depth than I will. I mean, I'm looking at it from a national perspective. They're going to do a whole show just on their team. There's a Locked On Fantasy show now, too, with Vinny Iyer. That should be very, very good. I like his work for quite some time now. So everything's going well. You know, drop me a line over the weekend. We'll talk more at Williamson NFL. And we got 2 weeks in the books on the pod. It's been great. I enjoy chatting with you guys and just get to do it every day, just like I'm in your living room, or, you know, me and you just sitting there having a cup of coffee or a cold one and just talking NFL, man. Have a great weekend.